So in my previous assignment, we would have Totus Tuus come out in the summer, just like we do here. So those of you who aren't familiar, it's a really wonderful kind of week-long summer camp that the Archdiocese and other dioceses around the country put on to draw children deeper into the faith. And so after lunch, I'd go out with the kids at recess, and there they loved playing kickball. So oftentimes I'd serve as the pitcher. So one day, I pitch the kickball, and it's one of the sixth graders, so one of the bigger kids for that age group, and they go and they kick this pop fly high, high up in the air. And so I'm ready to catch it, and I drop down to catch the kick, and I hear this cartoonish rip. And immediately, I am aware of the fact that my pants have ripped. I have never had anything like this happen to me before, and thank goodness, all of the kids are ahead of me. All of the grown-ups who are helping are behind me. So after they kind of finish laughing, they help me very quietly bow out so I can go back to the rectory and change into some unripped clothing. Now, last night, a few folks asked me questions after Mass. I did catch the kick, and the pants had to get thrown away. They couldn't be fixed. So don't worry or wonder about that through the rest of the homily. And obviously, it's a funny story, but I bring it up because that was an incredibly embarrassing and very, very vulnerable moment. I've never been there before. And any of us who've had something similar happen can get a little bit of a taste of what Adam and Eve go through in that moment that leads them to sew together fig leaves to cover themselves over. St. John Paul II has this wonderful insight in his Theology of the Body that the reason they do this is precisely because they now understand that they can be used and wounded by the other. They are aware of their vulnerability, but also that vulnerability, that feeling of not being safe, extends to God. Right? Because we know immediately following this, not only do they sew these loincloths, they hide. They hide from God. We have two readings in our first reading in the gospel that are cosmic in their importance. Incredibly dramatic, right? The first reading, the fall of man. The gospel, Jesus fighting the evil one in the desert. But I want to focus on a small detail that reveals to us the heart of God, and that is deeply important for us as we begin our Lenten journey. But if we were to just go a little bit further than where the first reading ends, we hear God's great promise to send a Savior. In fact, it's remembered in that window, that first window closest to the doors on this side. Take some time after Mass to look at it. And we might think that that's enough. But God's mercy says he promises to save the human race. Well, gosh, what more could we ask for? But God gives more. We tend to think, like human beings, the greatest good for the greatest number, which then leads to us wondering, do I really matter to God? Does my stuff really matter to him? Or even worse, if we have sinned or we have a good memory of our sins, we take on this idea that we are second-class citizens, deprived of God's goodness and generosity, that he merely tolerates us. Fig leaves are terrible things to make clothes out of. Right? Any sort of a leaf that's now off of its plant is going to wither and die quickly. And even in the first place, is not going to provide any real protection from the elements. Now, if God were vindictive or merely tolerated those who sinned like we fear, well, you made your bed, lie in it. But there's this small, beautiful detail. Before they have to leave the garden, God gives them clothes made out of leather. What a strange detail to include, but that is a beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit in the inspiration of Scripture. Even in the midst of their fallenness, God cares about Adam and Eve. He cares about them in a way that leads him to show deep kindness. Yes, this is a consequence of your sin, but I will give you more, something better to care for you in your vulnerability. And this is God showing that he is not the way that the evil one made him look to be. Because that is the evil one's tactic, as he comes to Eve and Adam is right there. Did God really say? And then he knows that if you eat of this tree, you won't die, you will be like gods. God doesn't trust you. He doesn't want what's best for you. He's keeping something from you. And so he exposes that first vulnerability that goes far deeper than the vulnerability of the body. He makes them believe that they are alone in the universe. There is no one to care for them, and so they must assert themselves and take control. And that sewing fig leaf loincloths is another manifestation. There is no one to care for us, so we must protect ourselves. And so that simple, intimate, kind act shows that God not only desires the salvation of the human race, but that he likes us, that he cares about us in an affectionate way. And we see the evil one attempt the same tactic with Jesus in the gospel. If you are the Son of God, and he attacks Jesus precisely in those places where he wants to raise the question, like he did with Adam and Eve. What kind of father would want you to be hungry? He's given you all this power. Use it. What kind of father would want you to have to be doubted? Show who you are. Throw yourself from the temple so that people can see that the Father protects you. They won't oppose you then. And finally, he kind of drops all pretense in this last temptation. Jesus knows what it's going to take to save us. It will be a violent, painful death. And so Satan offers him an easy way out. What kind of a father would ask his son to sacrifice himself? All you have to do is worship me, and I will give you everything that you need to accomplish your mission. It'll be over. Be easy. But unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus is unshakable in his trust and confidence in the love of his Father, in the kindness of his Father. Even in the midst of his hunger, even in the midst of his knowledge of suffering. And our second reading makes very clear, we are caught in the question, who are we going to follow? We've already inherited the effect of Adam and Eve. We've inherited that fear, that vulnerability. We've inherited original sin. But Jesus offers a new inheritance. We are vulnerable. It's the reality of the fall. But will we insist on making clothes for ourselves? Or will we let God in his kindness care for us? Paul understands because he says, okay, yes, through Adam, everyone has inherited this condemnation, but if that's the result of sin, our God is greater. How much more will God pour out on those who accept what he offers in Jesus? So as we begin Lent, we kind of want these two things in front of us. First, the kindness of God. That is always our answer to the temptation of the evil one. My Father is kind. I do not need to take control for myself. But then, to be aware of where we are most likely to do that. Where have we tried to cover ourselves over with our own stuff because we're vulnerable? Thomas Aquinas says there are really four ways that humans are tempted if you boil it all down. Tempted by wealth, by pleasure, by power, and by honor. So, what are the things that we most reach for to cover ourselves over when we're scared? That can tell us a lot about the vulnerability that God needs to care for in us. If we find that when we're scared, first thing we do is check our bank account, check the stock market, complain about the way the economy is going, that may mean that there is some vulnerability there that we didn't have enough when we were young. Nobody took care of us, or someone only cared about how much money we made. Jesus wants to come there and free us from that. If we find that when we're stressed, we just seek to numb ourselves with pleasure, with food, with drink, distract ourselves, well, then Jesus wants to come to that wound that we're trying poorly to numb or to hide. The physician says, "Let me see this so that I can heal it." Power. If we have to always get the last word, be the one on top of everything, the one who is consulted, and we're upset when we aren't, or we're conniving to get there. Were we told that we don't matter? Ignored at some pivotal moment in our life? Jesus wants to come and to show us that if God can humble himself to be like a slave, then it's okay for us to do the same because we matter to him. Honor. If we're always afraid of losing our social standing, what do others think? We get disproportionately angry when someone challenges us. Then we need to hear from God. At the end of the day, the only opinion that matters is his. It's frightening to let go of our fig leaves. But it's only in doing that that we're able to receive the greater richness that God gives and receive the inheritance, not of Adam, but of Jesus. And so God goes out of his way, not only with Adam and Eve in their sin, but with Jesus in his fidelity to show his tender care. Jesus didn't need angels to come and remind him of his Father's kindness, but they do. So as we draw close to Jesus, whose inheritance we receive by saying yes to him, may we allow God access to our vulnerability. May we receive renewed and deepened confidence that he won't leave us vulnerable. He won't leave us with tattered clothing. But in his kindness, he will give us more than we would ever, ever dare to even dream of asking for in this life and the life to come.